The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hey, this is Ray Rodriguez from Christian Cycling Del Marva, and you're listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McKay.
And we are back, Youth Ministry Sherpas, episode 53.
Hey, everybody. This is Steve Anderson.
And I'm Matthew McCabe.
We are the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast, helping youth workers to keep going. Thanks for joining us today. We are excited to do a follow-up to last week's episode
Part
about
two.
Procrastination.
It was kind of a cliffhanger last week.
We finally got around to it today.
Yeah, exactly. We talked about the causes and the cost, but we never got around to the cure, which we'll get to today.
So we were just talking off the air today about youth ministry prior to the digital age, which I know for some of you listening, probably most of the people listening, you have no idea that that is actually
a thing,
a historical fact.
It
but
is.
It was an historical reality. There was a time when there was no digital age in youth ministry. There was no cell phones. There were no personal computers. There was no internet. This is before Al Gore invented the internet.
I don't think Al Gore invented the internet, but thanks for saying that.
And there was no constant source stream of information and distraction. And so I was just asking Matthew, like, what did you do with your time when you didn't have any of those things and you were in youth ministry?
This is an incredible question that I ask myself sometimes, because when I think about the fact that I started in youth ministry in 1990, and I remember that, I don't know the exact dates, but I'm pretty sure that for the first two full years that I did youth ministry, that I did not have a computer for my ministry. There was a computer, a desktop computer
It had those little cards. It had the little hole punch cards. You had to put them in the in the slots, right?
There were floppy disks.
That's
for sure.
Not what I meant.
Okay, but there were floppy disks.
Okay.
And I know there was one. There was a huge computer shared.
The little floppy disks or the big floppy disks?
I was the little floppy disks.
Oh, okay.
I was the miniature ones.
Okay.
When high school, I used the big floppy disks. But anyway,
Who are listening, go back. If you have no idea what we're talking about, Google floppy disk.
Yes.
And see what you get.
Because
some of you weren't born yet. So.
Absolutely.
Anyway, continue.
Anyway, so for 2 years, I did not have a computer. And I think about how much time I spend in any given day or any given week at the office or in my job right now on my computer. It's the majority of the time. In one way, shape, or form, it's the majority of the time.
Right.
And I start to think, what did I do with my time before there was cell phones and computers? I didn't have a cell phone. I was one of those guys, by the way. I don't know if you were, Steve. I was one of those guys that had the cell phone in the shoulder bag.
No,
you know,
you
where
didn't.
You where you carried like basically the big
ginormous, you
kind of wear it like a satchel,
like a sat phone
yes,
that they take
exactly.
into the wilderness.
That was my very first cell phone.
Didn't.
I did. I was that guy. I've always been that guy. I always want the newest and the latest. And so
did you
when
have it
that
in your
was
fanny pack,
when that I didn't have a fanny pack, but when that came out, I had to have it, and
wow.
I did, and yeah, I'm sure there are pictures.
You carried
of me
it in your
somewhere.
Parachute pants.
Yeah, someone. Well,
did you hide it in your leg warmers?
This is
what is this?
Thanks, Steve, for all of these jabs. Anyway, I do know this. I knew almost every student in my youth group's phone number by heart.
Mm-hmm.
I could dial it from memory.
Impressive.
Because
all five of them.
You just had to. No, there was like 20. I really honestly think I spent more time out of the office. I spent more time at sporting events and band concerts and with kids and at the park playing basketball and doing things than I do now.
There's something romantic about those old days,
yeah,
isn't there?
Well, because again, just like today, when we're on our phones and computers, most of the time it's because we're trying to connect
right.
with them. And back then, how you connected was you got in the car and you drove to their house and said, let's go play basketball at the park. And they right. said, sure, I don't have anything going on. My Atari's broke.
True.
Yeah, that's a throwback, by the way.
Well, that kind of leads us into today as we think about the things that cause us to procrastinate. And so many of them are tied to our devices and the digital age that we live in. And that's all great. I'm not suggesting in any way, shape, or form that we go back. It's not possible. And I'm as addicted to those things as anyone.
Yesterday, when my wife and I were walking around the tidal basin looking at the cherry blossoms, my wife said, we need a phone apocalypse. Because we were just amazed at how many people were in this absolutely gorgeously beautiful place. And they were either obsessing over the perfect picture or they were walking with their head down on their phone in a crowd of people that was, it was insane. I just thought, what is happening? That's... What is happening? They were distracted from what was right in front of them.
Imagine a wind coming along and pulling every phone out of every hand and just dumping it into the tidal basin.
Oh, that would have been glorious.
It would be amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, we digress. So what are the cures for some of these causes of our procrastination that then end up costing us dearly?
Yeah, so we're going to work through it like this. We're going to talk about how we manage our week to week. Then we're going to talk about our day-to-day a little bit and even the moment-to-moment. And then we're going to step out and look at the big picture, how we consider time management in terms of the big picture of our youth ministry.
And then talk a little bit about some of the tools we use to help us manage all this. So week-to-week, what does that look like for you? How do you manage your week-to-week rhythm and tasks and all that, all your time?
Yeah, so it may be different for everyone, of course, based on what your day off is or when your ministry nights are, all those kinds of things. But we meet Sunday night, and I work Monday. I take Friday off. So first thing I do for the week is I take all my I have a day timer. It's called a planning pad. I take all the information.
You have a day timer. I just want to like say that out loud.
It's paper.
That you have a paper day timer.
I use paper and pen.
They still sell those?
Look, at least I'm not carrying around a sat phone in a satchel on my belly.
All
my,
right.
My
continue.
Fanny pack.
Continue. What? The first thing that you do. With your day timer.
I carry my day timer in my fanny pack.
With your birch bark and your feather pen. The first thing you do.
First thing I do is I come in my office, I take off my top hat.
Exactly. This is what I'm picturing.
No, I do have a paper. It's called a planner pad. And I take everything from the week before that was on my to-do list and I transfer it to the current week. And I have it divided up by different responsibilities, tasks, and so forth. But I want to make sure that I capture the responsibilities and to-do list for the week, for this week. I write it all down. I copy it all over. The copying itself is helpful for me.
Sure, absolutely.
And so there it is before me. Here's what this week holds. In a perfect world, this is what will get accomplished this week.
What you get done.
If I don't do that first thing and I just launch into a task, I lose it. I mean, the day is gone. And almost like the week is gone.
Sure. I can see that.
And it just the whole flow is off. So that's the first thing I do is I look at the week. What do I need to accomplish this week? And I write it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you?
Very similar. I take Mondays off. Our staff takes Mondays off. So we're back at it Tuesday morning. And then almost the first thing we do Tuesday morning is have a staff meeting, a full church staff meeting.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'll usually get a little bit of time before the staff meeting to kind of just clean up some communications. I try not to be on my email. We've talked about this. I try not to be on my email communications on Monday. So I usually try to do a little catching up because sometimes if people emailed me Sunday afternoon, it's now been almost 2 days since they heard from me. So I try to get a lot of that done Tuesday before staff meeting. Going to staff
they
meeting.
They survived 2 days without hearing from you?
It's amazing. I usually do.
Wow.
I usually do. Sometimes there's two or three messages saying, did you get that email that I sent
you?
Oh
my gosh.
I love that.
That would drive me nuts.
Anyway, then we go to staff meeting, and of course, staff meeting will generate certain tasks.
Right.
So then for me, the really good thing is right out of staff meeting is when I do exactly what you did.
Okay.
As I kind of take a look at, I look at what didn't I accomplish last week that I was on my list that just got pushed, add to the new things. Here's all, in a perfect world, this is what would get accomplished this week. And then I start to look at, okay, when and how am I going to do that? So I start dividing them up by, well, on this day I'm going to do this, and on that day I'm going to do that. And then I try to go a little further and try to say, okay, some of the bigger tasks that are going to take more time and energy, where are my blocks of time? So that then now that the week is coming and people are saying, hey, can I meet with you on Thursday or can we do this? I have some times blocked out, so I have the ability to say, no, we can't because I'm scheduled, and I'm not lying. I'm actually scheduled. I'm not scheduled to be anywhere or meet with anybody, but I'm scheduled to work on X, Y, or Z from 9 until noon on this day. So, no, I cannot meet with you then.
Yeah, so an example might be you look at your week, and I'll just make it up here. Wednesday from 9 to 12, you're going to start your message for Sunday night.
Sure, yep.
And you have 3 hours blocked off. And then maybe a lunch meeting, maybe an afternoon meeting, maybe an hour to do some administrative tasks or some marketing or something like that. And then maybe another 2 hours blocked off for planning an event that's 3 months away.
Yep. There you go. So, okay. you've got your tasks,
and
but you also have your time blocks, which for me, if it's just tasks, and again, this is me. Lots of people work differently. But for me, if it's just tasks, I have a hard time staying on it because I get overwhelmed by the number of tasks, or I get overwhelmed by the one or two things that I don't want to do. We talked about that last week, the thing, you know, then I start doing the things that I want to do instead of the things I should do. But if I time block it, that's a big cure for me to get over doing what I want instead of what needs to be done. Because if it's on my calendar that, no, you're working on your message from 9 until noon on Wednesday, well, then doesn't matter what else is on the task list. It zeroes my focus in.
Okay.
Just locks me in.
Good. So that's a week-to-week way of looking at it. Maybe it's helpful for some to even do that monthly. I don't know.
Yep.
I'm probably not able to do that, but okay. And the next piece of that would be the actual day-to-day,
the
right?
The actual day-to-day. Well, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it gets tough. It's so easy to sit in my office on Tuesday afternoon.
I think the rubber is going to meet the road in the next section because that's where I struggle, but we'll get to that.
For me, this is where I struggle. Very easy to sit in my office on Tuesday afternoon and say, here's all the things that need to get done, and here's the way I'm going to organize my week so that I can get it all done or at least make great progress. But then Wednesday comes, and I get in the office, and it says that I'm supposed to do this from 9 to noon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's 10 other things I could do, or maybe 3 or 4 things I'd really like to do. And none of them involve the thing that I said yesterday I was going to do.
Okay.
And so for me, when it comes to the day-to-day, it's stick to the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Make a plan, work the plan. Make a plan, work the plan. This is this thing that runs through my head.
Mm-hmm.
You made a plan. You thought this was a good idea. It's still a good idea. Work the plan. If it says do this, do this. And so for me, that day-to-day comes down to sticking to the time blocks.
Yes.
Sticking to the time blocks.
Okay. Prioritizing the tasks.
Yes.
Sticking to the blocks of time you've designated for those tasks.
Yep. Prioritize. You know, Don Miller has some great material out there, which we'll talk about a little bit at the end. And one of the things that he's said to me in podcasts and blogs that has been really effective for me is this idea of when you prioritize your tasks for the day, you look at your day and here's all the things you need to accomplish this day. And if you've got time blocks, that helps. But the other thing that's super helpful is this idea of, he calls it, step on the snake first. Take the task that you don't want to do, that's going to sort of linger over you, that's going to, you know, cast a shadow on the rest of your day because, oh, I got to do this, and do it first. Make it the first thing that you do so that, number one, you're accomplished because, man, I did that thing, and it's gone. Plus, it just brightens the rest of the day because now it's gone. It's off. You can see the check mark. Now I can get on with the rest of the things. And again, if you're really on top of the game, you time block so that you can actually do that. You time block the morning slot. For me, because I'm usually very effective, especially if I get my workout in early in the morning, I'm really effective from the first time I get into the office until about lunchtime. That's where I've got to time block the things that are going to take the most energy or are the hardest or are going to take the most creativity. I have to prioritize that time, not necessarily on what needs to get done first, but what needs to get done in that really productive time.
You ever have a conflict kind of hanging over your head? You need to address something with somebody else, and you're like, it's in the back of your mind, and it's distracting you from everything else that you want to accomplish.
Yes.
And
you just got to tell yourself, I got to land. I use the expression lance the boil. I got to take care of this thing first, or I'm not going to be able to sit still and do anything else.
And you're going to be very inefficient in all the other things you're trying to do to avoid that one thing.
Kind of the same idea. Yeah. Okay. That's good. Just one last thing on the day to day is that, you know, there will be interruptions unforeseen.
This is our life.
And so you know, I think it helps if we're willing to kind of reevaluate even at the end of the day what tomorrow's day-to-day might look like.
Yeah.
Right. So we might need to make some adjustments as we move through the week because something came up, we had an emergency or whatever, and we had to address this other thing.
Somebody stopped by with a crisis and so chewed up an hour of your day.
Yeah. And so it may reprioritize everything else from that point forward. So we're thinking about all this from the standpoint of youth ministry. So, you know, as you listen to this, think about all the youth ministry tasks that are sitting out there awaiting every youth worker everywhere, right? You got lesson prep, you got leader development, you've got time with students, you've got church-related responsibilities, you've got publicity and event planning and trip planning and whatever, all this kind of stuff. These all kind of fall into these
all flow in
patterns of your week to week and your day to day.
Yeah, do you have a pretty good flow of what you do each day of each week on a normal week, right? When everything, you know, you've got your ministry night, which for you is Sunday night.
Right.
So then does that kind of set a pattern of what you work on each day?
Yeah, it does. In theory, it's even better. But in reality, so one of the things that I do is because I want to use Tuesday for creative work, let my mind go, I try not to schedule meetings on Tuesdays. So I've taken, we have our church staff meeting on Wednesdays, and I've taken my my one-on-one time with my team to Thursdays and our team time to Thursdays. So I've cleared Tuesday basically for myself and to get these kinds of things done so that when I get into meeting season, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, it's going to be busier. I'm going to be more distracted. So that's just one little thing that I've done. Tried to lump the meetings on certain days so that the other days are more free. That helps me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a benefit of youth ministry specifically is that there is a rhythm to it. Mm-hmm. And I know it's chaotic and can be crazy and there's lots of things that pop up, but you have your ministry night set. Whether it could be Wednesday night, it could be Sunday night, it could be whatever. Then that is your anchor point. Mm-hmm. And you have certain things that have to get done every week because they happen every week,
yeah.
Right? You have a message, you have small group questions, you communicate with your leaders, all the things that you just said. So developing a pattern, I know that for me, that was huge to say, well, it's Wednesday. That means I'm working on my message.
Okay.
It's Thursday. That means I'm crafting my small group questions based on the message I wrote yesterday. And I'm crafting the email to the team so that they have a couple days to prep for Sunday. Like I had this rhythm. Oh, it's Friday. That means I'm thinking creatively about what game we're going to play and how we're going to get the students to interact. And are there any other creative elements we can throw in? You know, I had this rhythm where every week was the same and boy, that was super helpful. I have less of that now and I'm struggling a little.
Yeah. So there's rhythm. There's time blocks. There's tasks and priority of tasks. There's stacking of meetings to create more think time.
Yep.
So these are all just things that we're still working through and haven't perfected by any means, but things that we think about a lot.
And there are things that you need to think about based on your personality, your temperament. I'm very productive from 9 o'clock to noon. I have a good friend on staff with me who is semi-useless before 11. You know, that's just the way he's wired. So he has to prioritize some of his tasks differently. And I have to make sure I don't, you know, try to have really important meetings with that person at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Because they just don't go well.
So you got to know yourself too.
Absolutely.
Okay. That kind of leads us to where for me, the rubber really meets the road, which is just the moment by moment. This is where my procrastinating nature just takes over. The old man is just nipping at me all the time. So this is what we were talking about when we opened. There's so many things that distract us now because we're constantly at our computer. There's so much information. I mean, you could come in, if you're like me, first tendency is to come in the morning and the first thing I'll do is check email.
Sure. Why wouldn't you?
Because it's stupid. Because there's probably very little in there that you need to address. It's not the priority. And so one thing that I try to do is I try to set that aside and I'll check emails after.
Yep.
If I instead of constantly checking them, I'll say, okay, at 12 o'clock while I'm sitting here eating my sandwich, then I'll check my email. That would be a much smarter thing to do.
Yep. Yeah. I've gotten into scheduling block timing in for communication.
Okay.
So that I'm not stressing that I'm not looking at my communication during the blocks that I'm not supposed to be looking at. I'm supposed to be doing something else.
And so one of the things that you said you do is that you actually silence a lot of these forms of communication. So you're turning off your social media, you're silencing your cell phone when you're writing messages because you need to stay focused on that task.
Yep. Avoiding the temptation, just removing the temptation. So the phone gets silenced and gets put like in my backpack or back on a shelf. So I can't even hear it buzz. Oftentimes when I'm in like a really creative block, if I'm sermon writing or long range planning or something that really needs my attention, I turn my computer off. Because again, you can close your email or like, I don't know, on my Mac, like text messages still come through even if the message app is closed.
Oh, really?
Like I hear it ding. So like I literally will often like close my, like shut it off. Now it's a Mac, so it turns on in 30 seconds as opposed to a Microsoft that turns on in like 20 minutes.
Ooh, so shots fired.
So it's easier for me to do that. But I'm just saying, whatever you have to do to remove those distractions, what do you do?
I don't know.
You don't?
Because I'm terrible at it.
You don't do it so well?
I'm terrible at it, yeah. I need some help, man.
Yeah.
Well, I need you to stand here, and every time I click on Facebook,
no,
just slap me in the face.
That. I'm not going to do that. Turn your computer off.
But how do I write a message if my computer's on?
Write it on a legal pad, and then turn your computer on later and type it out.
You just made fun of me for having a paper day timer.
I write every message on a legal pad.
Do you really?
And then I type it into a computer.
I am impressed.
Yeah.
Wow.
So sometimes, again, what I'll do is I'll change the environment. If my environment has become a distraction to the task at hand or the time block at hand, then I will change the environment. And it might mean getting up and going out in the back of the church and sitting on a picnic table. It might be driving to the park that's about a mile from my church and sitting on a rock next to the stream. Or it could be going to the pizza place down the road and getting a Diet Coke and sitting at a table there and having just
you natural, and your legal pad.
Yeah, me and my legal pad just having at it. So another thing that I've done, and this is more in the positive instead of removing, is I've added music is a big thing for me.
Yeah, tell me about this. I love this idea. Yeah, this is funny.
It's like creating a trigger. So I have a specific playlist. It is the Lord of the Rings soundtracks, all three Lord of the Rings soundtracks I have saved in a playlist, and that is my studying and writing music. So if I'm going to be either reading or studying for a message or just reading, if I'm just reading to kind of expand my horizons or whatever, or I'm writing a message, the Lord of the Rings soundtrack is on in the background. And
are you sure it's not Olivia Newton-John?
It's not, I promise you. That's a whole different other task. And so I've done that for so long now that it's a trigger, not only for me, like my mind literally gets into that mode when
That's awesome.
Music comes on. When I hear that music, I was in the car the other day and my iTunes was on random and Lord of the Rings soundtrack came on.
Suddenly
it's on
you
my
started
phone,
preaching.
And I like got this like glazed look in my eye and I started like thinking creatively and like, hey, well, what about this and what about that? And it was just really weird.
I've got this idea for you.
Yeah, so that's
you,
what I do.
You need to use the Lord of the Rings music as your walk-up music for your sermons.
Oh, I should. I should.
That would be epic.
Minas Tirith or something, you know, as I'm coming up.
Yes. Need walk-up music
also,
for our sermons.
But it's also it triggers other people in my office.
Okay.
I have coworkers who, if they come to my, my door is closed, but my door is closed. Sometimes they just knock if they want to. But if they come and they hear Lord of the Rings, they don't knock. They don't come in. They know I'm locked in. I'm in a zone and I don't want to be taken out of the zone.
I'm just imagining them like walking up to your office and looking in the window and you're in there in like medieval garb. You got chainmail on.
Exactly. Got my sword out.
You're like, I'm ready my message. Leave
me
alone.
Exactly. So it works out now too. Then if I just want to take a nap under my desk, I just put that music on. No one knocks.
That's great. All right. So know yourself. Know your triggers. Know the things that you need to turn off, get rid of, so you can stay focused. It sounds so easy, but it's hard.
And know the environments you need to be in. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does sound easy, but it's not easy.
Environment's important. I'll often go to a coffee shop or find a new location to sit in just to kind of spur a new moment of creativity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually really looking forward to my sabbatical this summer because one of the things that I'm going to do in June, it's going to be hard, man. It's going to be hard, is I'm going to take a social media fast for 30 days.
30 days? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. I, you know, need to post some stuff for Sherpas during that time, but otherwise, I'm going to get off.
How will the people know what you think about the pirates?
I don't know. It's going to be the breaking of an addiction. I'm hoping.
I'm excited for you.
We'll see what happens.
I'm happy for you.
I hope I can do it now that I've said it. Anyway,
So we did week to week, day to day, minute by minute. What about the big picture one? This is a tough one.
Yeah, so let's step out. Let's look at the big picture of youth ministry and how we can be more effective doing that. So what we were saying earlier, as we were talking before we started to record, when you're thinking big picture, there are certain things that you can do well in advance that don't even necessarily take a lot of time, but they set the event up for success. And if you don't do them, you are headed for disaster.
Sure, absolutely.
So just for example, you know, and this sounds like common sense, but I'm sure everybody's failed at this at some point in their youth ministry career. So you have a retreat. Let's say you have a retreat in November. There are certain things you can do now, you should have done by now, if not earlier, and then you don't have to think about it again for months. So you should have the place reserved. You should have your transportation reserved. You should have your speaker booked. Like, you get the big pieces. You throw the big pieces on the wall and you let them stick. And it takes the pressure off to plan the rest of the event. You can come back to that later.
Come back to that later.
So you got to get in those kind of annual rhythms of, here are the big things we need to get out there, get scheduled, get booked, and then we can worry about the details as they come. That's immensely helpful.
Absolutely.
You know, and this many years in, we have those rhythms.
And we figured those things out. Right, exactly. Yeah. I remember the first year that I booked our travel to Peru. You know, we're going to Peru in July, and I talked to a travel agent in April about, okay, well, what are we looking at for tickets? Well, they were pretty expensive. Mm. Well, it's amazing. Now I reserve my tickets for Peru in November.
Good.
You know, and I get much better deals. I have much more negotiating power, and it just works out well. But, I mean, literally, I closed down a Peru trip, and less than 6 weeks later, I start working on the next one. Because, and now, am I giving weeks of time to it? No, but there are the big pieces that, again, you can't do later that can cause you some trouble.
Another part of the big picture is you're able to kind of look out and see the busy seasons. And so if you can overcome the natural procrastination that rises up in me, you can use the slower seasons to start preparing for the busier season.
Absolutely.
So we took our team away about a month ago. We took a planning day. We basically planned almost through the end of this calendar year.
Wow.
Not the specifics of each meeting or
but
anything.
But big picture.
But yeah, we know when the big events are happening. We got that all scheduled out. So now we have this freedom to kind of work the plan from here forward.
Yep.
And it's going to be glorious.
It takes pressure off you. And in today's day and age, it helps our families and our students.
Yes.
We're able now, because of our long-range planning, to put dates out for retreats and missions trips up to 12 months out. They're on our website because people plan family vacations. They plan trips. And now they're able to plan around these things.
Yeah. So, like, for example, May is a really busy month for our youth ministry. We have our move-up things with sixth graders and freshmen. We have a big senior banquet. We have interns coming in. So things are going to get really, really busy in May. April, not too bad. The next few weeks aren't too bad. Easter is actually a downtime for youth ministry in our context because we don't meet Easter Sunday, so it kind of gives us an extra empty week. So we can use the next couple of weeks not only to get ahead for May, but even to get ahead for the fall, some things we want to do training our leaders, some things we want to do in terms of student discipleship, we can start to create some of those programs, those big picture things, because we have a couple extra weeks here that we're not super busy. Like, it takes that foresight.
Sure.
And the discipline to not procrastinate
to
so
be
that when you get
thinking about
there,
it. Sure.
You've already done a lot of the legwork.
Yep.
And it sounds great.
No, it sounds so great and so wonderful, and it can be. I mean, it speaks to what we talked about last week where, you know, where I ran into all those problems where I was coming up with these great ideas for these retreats, mm-hmm. but with not enough time to pull them off.
Right.
And so I have this reoccurring task that comes up on my task list every the first Tuesday of every month, and all the task says is next 4 months.
Okay.
And then the task under it says the next 6 months, and the task under that says the next 12 months, which is basically my way of saying, okay, it's time to look at what's happening in the next 1 to 4 months and then say, okay, what are things I need to be doing now, even though that thing is 4 months mm-hmm. out, and then scheduling very specific tasks. Oh, I need to schedule a leaders meeting so we can brainstorm ideas about the retreat mm-hmm. so that we have time to pull off whatever ideas we come up with.
Yeah.
Same thing with 6 months and the same thing with 12 months. And it has helped me immensely that comes up.
That's good.
So, yeah.
Yeah, all the things that we're talking about today are things that we still fail at repeatedly. So we're talking like Sherpas. We're often failures at this, but they're just things that we've learned, and I'm sure there are people out there that are much more advanced in their time management, certainly than I am. But hopefully these are things that are helpful as
sure.
you hear them.
Absolutely.
Maybe give a younger youth worker a opportunity to kind of think about how they're managing their time.
What about some tools?
Some specific tools. So, much to your amusement, I do actually use paper and pen. It's called the Planner Pad. I think you can Google it, plannerpad.com. You can't buy it in a Staples. It's only available online.
And what it's weird. Does,
I know. It's so there's like columns. So you put all your tasks at the top, and then it funnels down to the day. And then it funnels down to the hour on each day. So it kind of does what you're talking about.
Sure.
With prioritizing tasks and making time blocks. And then you just transfer everything over to each successive week and carry all your tasks over. They're all there in my book, which I use like my second Bible.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. And yours are digital, right?
I'm digital. I'm a digital guy. So I use an app called Todoist. Todoist.
That sounds so millennial.
I know. I find it super helpful. It's cross-platform.
I'm a procrastinator.
So it's on my phone. It's on my computer at work. It's on my computer at home. I'm signed in. And it allows me to, you know, set tasks. One of the things I love about it is it allows me to set reminders to the tasks. So if a task is very specific to a time of day, the app will text me to tell me to do that thing.
That's cool. I think I would get annoyed, but okay.
Which is kind of cool. It's very helpful when I if I get an email that says, "Hey, give me a call tomorrow at 4:00."
Okay.
Well, I could put that in my calendar at 4:00, and I might see that, and I might get a reminder that does that. But I'll just put it in my to-do app: call Bill at 4:00 tomorrow, and then I'll text myself at 3:55. Call Bill.
Okay.
You know?
Cool.
And that helps me. So that's been super helpful. Very easy to move it around. I can categorize my tasks. I can assign other people tasks. I've used it with my team before, made them use mm-hmm. it. They didn't like it as much, so we went away from it. But could assign them tasks. And then I also use Evernote, which is a note-taking app mm-hmm. that's also cross-platform. I'm terrible with paper. I lose paper. I can't read my own handwriting. So very shortly after I've taken notes, they're gone.
But
you
write your sermons on legal pads.
Right. And I type them into my computer within an hour after finishing writing them.
Okay.
So that I can throw the paper away.
While listening to Lord of the Rings.
Absolutely. And so everything that I need to have record of needs to be put in Evernote, not on paper. Because if it's on paper, it's gone.
Okay.
And that works for me. And then obviously I use, I use Google Calendar. Just because it's free and it's easy and it integrates with my family's calendar. Everybody has a Google account. And
mm-hmm.
So my personal calendar and my ministry calendar are one. You know,
yes.
For a long time, I actually had a work calendar. I used Outlook and I used the Outlook calendar for all of my work stuff. But then we were managing, you know, but then I'd forget to put it on the home calendar that I had a meeting. And then everybody would be mad because I'm not home when they thought I would. And so I just got rid of the Outlook calendar, the work calendar, and everything from recording Sherpa episodes with Steve to playing golf to, you know, the meeting I have with Bill is all on my Google calendar. So my family knows if I'm doing marriage counseling or if I'm in a meeting or if I'm sometimes they know if I'm working on my sermon because I sometimes block that in the calendar, like 9 to noon sermon prep. Then, how'd the sermon go today, Dad? Well, we'll see.
There's a lot of tools out there. There's all kinds of day timers and things. There's, you know, Michael Hyatt has a system that he uses. He's a leadership guru.
Everybody has
a system. There's Donald Miller. He has one called a productivity schedule, which you can download for free off the StoryBrand website. Just lots of great, helpful tools. Find one that works for you and go with that. You know, really invest in that. For me, it's this Planner Pad. For Matthew, it's his digital Todoist and Evernote. Maybe for you, it's something completely different. Just find that thing and work the plan. Just work the plan.
Make the plan, work the plan.
Yeah. Another quick resource I want to mention is a book called Manage Your Day Today.
Great book.
You've read that?
Yeah, I've read that book.
Yeah, it's just, it's kind of like little blog posts, and they're very convicting about how we manage our time. One of those was about how to not check your email 20 times a day.
Yes.
Which is a great idea. So pick that book up, Manage Your Day Today. I think it's helpful as well.
Super easy read. Yeah. Well, hopefully these last two episodes have been helpful for you, especially if you are on the procrastinating end of the spectrum, mm-hmm. which I'm guessing many of us are, mm-hmm. and has given you some practical ways to think about it and some practical tools on how to get better at it.
Yeah, if you have any ideas to help us be more productive, we'd love to hear them. Or if you have tips and tools that you especially use, put them out there on our Facebook group. We'd love to hear or correspond with us on Instagram so we can interact with you. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Well, we're super excited because in just a few weeks, we're going to release our new season of Sherpa Shorts, 26 straight days of 10-minute episodes where we riff on youth ministry, going through the alphabet, bringing spontaneous words to each other. See how that goes.
Absolutely had a riot last year doing it and looking forward to it again. Hopefully, you'll tune in.
Yeah, for sure. Well, until then, we are finished for today. We have some work to do, so it's time to stop procrastinating our day jobs and actually go do something important.
Absolutely. I have some time blocked out this afternoon for some very specific tasks.
Yeah, he's probably going to go, you know, pick up his sat phone and whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's going to go rotary dial all of his students.
By memory.
And
as a throwback to Youth Ministry 1990.
Tell him how much you love. All right. Well, thanks for listening today to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast, episode 53. Until next time,
Sherpas out.